at home. Desire, Lord, is to draw even closer to you. I ask God that you'll guide us now through the service tonight. Bless the people, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 24. To begin reading at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, as you read through this, this doesn't just go in an order of this is what's happening verse by verse by verse. In other words, what I'm saying is these portions of this that he's speaking right here, portions of this are going on down into the future, the ages to come, and some of it is going to be fulfilled in the days of the disciples who were standing there listening to this. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I want to just go down some more verses there. We're probably going to be in this chapter for a little while. Winston's, well, we're going to go down to verse 22. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. You may be seated. Just hold your Bibles there. There's some more I want to point out and go through. I had said that we were going to, on Wednesday nights, we were going to be getting into teaching on that to show you scripturally that God had sent a prophet. And I didn't, as I was led by the Holy Spirit, I began to go through and give background and didn't jump right to the scriptures that perhaps myself or you thought we would just go straight to. And as I stand here before you tonight, I can see, looking at some things that have actually transpired, I can see why that is, why the Lord didn't just have me jump to that, but why he's been building to it. It's important that we understand this. We're not a group of people who are speaking about an end time that is to come. We're not just a group of people that are speaking about there is a time out in the future when Christ is going to come for us. But we are a group of people that are standing right at the door of the end. We're not any longer waiting for the end time. I could tell you that back in the late 60s, early 70s, when my mom and dad and I come into the message, the things that we heard preached, the tapes that we listened to of the prophet, and then what we heard preached by the ministry that we sat under at that time, and we believed then it was the end time. And if you look at it through the eyes of God, then you can see that how that it isn't, the years have passed for us, but it isn't that long of a time for God. God is, during this time, he's got to let the cup of iniquity get full. He has to allow opportunity. And there are elect seed that, contrary to the false teachings that all the elect seed was in 63 and nobody else after that could be elect seed, there was elect seed that was yet to come. There was elect seed that were children at that time that had to come to an age of accountability. But not only that, there was children, elect children of God, that would come forth even after that, those that weren't even born yet. There were those who perhaps were born and yet where they were at, they had no idea, or their parents had no idea, that God had sent a prophet. And yet you're sitting here tonight and you know he has, and you believe that he has, and you're following it. So God, in his plan, he has made it to where, friends, he says, all that the Father has given me, I have them. I'll not lose a one. So there will not be one elect seed of God that will be lost. But we looked at things that perhaps I go in my mind and I look at things that were pointed out to us in the early 70s in the ministry of the fivefold ministry at that time, and what they were saying, and that they were pointing, we're at the end. And you know, we sung songs that were about it being at the end time and so forth. But we look now and we're beginning to see not only things that are taking place in the world news, in the nations around the world. I mentioned, I think, on Sunday, you know, how that there are many people, they thought, well, when in 1989, when the wall came down there in Germany, they thought, well, and the USSR broke up, they thought, well, what's up with this? Brother Branham said that there was a bomb hanging over there. Brother Branham never said the USSR. He said, Russia. Now, we're not worried about the other countries that were
in the USSR at those times, from the end of World War II until 1989. We're not worried about them now. They're not the threat. The one nation that is clawing for position and is still a viable threat is Russia. But our prophet told us, don't worry about them. God is going to use them to judge this nation. So he told the bride, don't get your mind focused on them. Don't worry about them. He said, don't fear communism, but Romanism, Catholicism. Now we see things happening on that front as well. There are things taking place within the realms of the Catholic Church. And you know, actually, if you study a lot about it and see different things, it's kind of hard to just say Catholic Church. It's a dynasty. But not only that, but we have watched over the years, we have watched things that has puzzled us. We have saw back in different, as we would point at each decade, I could tell you what false doctrines arose out of each decade from the time the prophet left. And we've watched these false doctrines come, and we've watched them, some of them, we watched them crumble and go. And there was two souls, there was seven thunders, there were some that never even made it that big, but they were still false doctrines. There was one of the biggest, and remains one of the biggest to this day, is the return ministry. That still is a big one. But even with all that, we were able to look and see men that we could have confidence in that were staying true to the end time message. We were able to look and see there were people that were staying true to the end time message, that weren't running off after a false Christ or a false prophet, a false doctrine, but they were remaining true. And when you would get to talk amongst those that were actually remaining true with the message, you wouldn't find them being very intellectual. I'm not trying to talk about their, as far as a measure of how smart somebody is. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, when you talk to many of these, when after these false doctors, everything was intellectual to them. They, you know, and it seemed like that they based where you were and where they were with God based on just how much you knew and how much you could quote. And yet the ones that couldn't outquote them, that didn't seem to, you know, they'd want to ask you questions. Well, you don't know that either. And yet we see those are the ones that have stayed true. Say, yeah, but some of us backslid, some of us not. That's true, because you're flesh. But you know, those of you that backslid when you got out there, was there a question in your heart whether God had sent a prophet? Was there a question in your heart whether the message was right or not? Amen. No. But there are many that have come to a place to where now they've had doubts about it.
Excuse me a moment. I should have done this in the back room. I got to pull up something so I can read it to you. This is an announcement that's on the homepage of the Believers Christian Fellowship in Lima, Ohio. We regret to announce that Brother Jeff Jenkins has resigned from pastoring Believers Christian Fellowship. We thank him for 33 years of faithful service and wish him well.
Oh, you're as puzzled as I was when I read it. Several months back, Paul Jenkins, Brother Paul Jenkins, is Jeff's brother. He and his wife left the message.
I'm going to try to see if I can. This ain't going to be very big, no matter how much I enlarge it. And this is what they posted online. They posted a picture of Brother Brown with the bullet fire over his head. And to the side of it, they posted a picture of the Beatles with lights over their head. What they said was, there was no difference.
About a year and a half ago, Brother Lonnie Jenkins, the Lord took him on home, and he died, and he gave his life for the spreading of this gospel, for this message to so many nations. Brother Lonnie was a great missionary, and he was a great teacher. Now, within the year and a half that has transpired since his death, his son Paul and his wife left a message and have posted this, in other words, claiming there's nothing. Heard from three different sources today. Heard from Brother Keith Brown, who's a pastor down in Florida. Heard from Brother Jack Benton, who you all know him. Brother Ben Norite, who actually has friends and so forth up there in Ohio around the Lima area. Brother Jeff Jenkins resigned because he's left the message. Last year, it was told to me, I never said anything, it was told to me last summer that there were some brothers over in Africa who had took the Hoffman Head of Christ and they took the cloud, you know, and they had kind of superimposed them together and showed how that, you remember Brother Branham saying, if you turn it to the side, he said, there it is, the Hoffman Head of Christ. And so they kind of superimpose the two together. Brother Jeff Jenkins really scolded them over it. Didn't agree with it. He said they shouldn't have done that. Now, the brothers didn't mean any harm. They weren't trying to tell people this is how it appeared. It was just among the believers. Some of them had done it because, you know, Brother Ramsey, if you turn it to the side and see it, and he says, you can see outline, see it perfect. Well, what bothered Brother Jeff about it was, Brother Jeff said he did not believe that the cloud was a supernatural happening from God. And so he told those brothers they, and so that caused quite a stir in those countries there in Africa that were involved, especially because those were these countries that were named. They were countries that Brother Lonnie had went and been a missionary in and had spread the gospel in. Now, I'm not saying this in any way or saying these names in any way to try to strike out at somebody. That's not my purpose. My purpose is this. Friends, when you begin to see individuals that are falling away from this message, whom look to be firmly established, and were men that were looked up to by the people and highly respected by the people, and you see them turn their back on the message after 33 years of pastoring in the Message. That isn't just somebody who's come to your church, has been a member here with us for a while, and then backslid and went back out. No. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that always affects us. We have those that have come, and we get used to them, we get loved, you know, and all that. But when you begin to hear about it, and forgive me, I know that we're not supposed to there's not supposed to be such a thing as us having celebrities in the Message, really. But there are men who are more widely known throughout the United States in connection with the Message. Many of these men have the larger congregations. And so when you see one of them that was so prominent, and I mean, there were many good things that did go on. The family camp that they had every year. And then when you see this, friends, this should be telling you we have arrived at the end. And I believe you're going to see a great exodus taking place. Let's go on down in Matthew 24. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Now who was Jesus talking to? Who's the nation that Jesus typed as the fig tree? Israel. What do we see going on with Israel today? Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever think Israel's weak. They're not weak. And they're not politically correct. Israel is not concerned about being PC. Israel's not concerned about offending Muslims. And I'm going to tell you something. As it says here, it talks about the abomination of desolation, and we know that Muslim temple that sits on the Temple Mount. Friends, that is something that the true Jew, it eats at their heart that's there, and they want it gone. And they are going to do it. And watch as our nation, doesn't stand with Israel like it used to. And I wonder why that is. Could it be because we actually do have a Muslim in the presidential office? I'm not saying that to down the man, and if we were online, I wouldn't even be able to say it. Or if we had visitors in here tonight, I have to watch. But friends, I'm not trying to down the president, but what I'm telling you is this. All these things are happening, and it's setting different things in motion. Now, back here at verse 33, because he told us what that parable of the fig tree. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. That's where we are now. We're not approaching the end. We're at the door. Friends, any day, the dead in Christ are going to arise. Any day, it's going to happen. We're not looking at it to be you know, 10 years out in the future, or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. We're not looking for that. Friends, look, there is so much that's going on, not only, as I tell you, in the world events, but there's so much going on that is so different, even in the ranks of so-called believers. It's really not that strange to us about the false doctrines. It's not really that strange to us that some other man would rise up and say, well, Brother Branham forerun me now and try to gather a bunch of people. That doesn't surprise us. But when it begins to get down to where you see prominent figures in the message that you thought believed this message and stood for it, that they are turning their backs, and we're not talking about just lay members, we're talking about pastors, preachers. So how many of you think will follow them? That's what was told me. My dad talked directly to Brother Jackie Benton. My brother was the one that, of us that saw that on the homepage about him resigning, he immediately forwarded it to me so I could, and he says, read this. So I've been in communication with different ministers throughout the day. I got a hold of Brother Bo, and he contacted some of the ministers that he knew, and we were just trying to see if there was anything else out there, if anybody knew anything. From what I found out, Brother Jeff's going to actually address the congregation this coming Sunday. I don't know if he has in fact left a message, friends. Verse 34, verily, verily, it said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, there were times when Jesus was speaking that even his disciples thought that he was speaking about something that was going to happen right then, right there. But the generation that he's talking about here is the generation that is even at the door. That's the generation he's talking about. He's not talking about the generation standing there in front of him. The generation who sees Israel put forth its leaves, that generation, he said, won't pass until all the things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, if you follow this scripture, the context of scripture, you'll pick it up again in Luke. And it not only then talks about Noah, but there it talks about as it was in the days of Lot. It picks up about Noah, but then it also picks up about as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, friends, the Son of Man was revealed. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He actually says, I am a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. Brother Branham could not open the seals, friends. There was only one that was worthy to do that. And it wasn't a son of man, it was the Son of Man. Amen. And Brother Adam said, he said, no man, no one can open that. He said, we're waiting. The Lamb must come and open it. And every service that was preached on the seals, friend, the Lamb came forward. It wasn't something someone could see there. Brother Branham, even himself, said when he was studying on these things, if he would have preached what he studied and how he had it together, he said, I would have had it all wrong. He said, I didn't know what they were. And before you did, he said, I didn't know until he came. So that was the Son of Man revealing himself. That was the appearing of the Son of Man. See, there's many that around the message that I've talked to, there's some that they get confused. And especially because the Satan ran that doctrine out there of parousia. Well, you've seen all the coming of the Lord, you're going to see. That is baloney. When you ask them about, well, how come the dead in Christ hadn't rose yet? They say, no, he says, when he comes, he brings them with him. They're right here. Man, they were already right here. Just in another dimension. What in the world are they talking about? But see, they get things to it. And when you begin to ask them, well, it just has to be revealed to you. You know why they say that? They build themselves up to be so intellectual. And then if you try to nail them down, they'll say, well, it has to be revealed to you. It has to be revealed to you now. If it ain't, you can't help it. What message, sermon, did God lay on Brother Branham's heart to preach just before the opening of the seals? God hid in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. It wasn't in intellectualism. It wasn't in how much you thought you could mentally know. Friends, listen, I don't care if you don't have enough education to actually even read your Bible yourself, or if it gives you problems or whatever, that don't mean anything. That has nothing to do with your election. Don't let the devil bother you over that. Get somebody to read it to you. Remember that black brother, Brother Branham talked about and said, they were asking him questions about the Bible. He said, I believe it from kiver to kiver. He said, I even believe the kiver. Can you read it? Don't matter. I believe it. Friends, there has been things over the years, as I have studied and as I've preached, there's been things that I didn't understand. And I wouldn't come to you and try to push it or preach some kind of ideology of it. No. I waited until God opened it up. I preach as God opens it up to me. Verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, were so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now there was an appearing that was to take place, and that was the Son of Man come to reveal himself in his word. But we're waiting for the literal coming. Amen? So it didn't like, you know, brother, the word shows there's only three comings. I had a brother tell me one time, he says, brother, what are you saying? It seems to me like you're talking about four comings. No, there's not four comings. There's three comings. But friends, the appearing is part of the second coming. He's appeared to us in the revelation of the word. Friends, listen. Listen to this now. Him revealing himself to us through the word, it means far more to God than coming down and you seeing him physically. Does that sound strange? All flesh will one day see him physically. But they won't all flesh be saved. So having to see him in the revelation of his word is far greater than to see him in person. Those that will stand at the judgment, they will literally see him. They will literally come into his presence. But they've already made their choices. They rejected. Did not want to see him in the revelation of his word. Verse 40. Now this is another, this again is where it lines up again over in Luke. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the other shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Those two verses, friends. There were two. They were working in a field. What was the difference between them? One was elected to go, but they were working in the same field. Are you getting this? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known him in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? That's what we're eating right now. Meat in due season. Blessed is thy servant, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing what? Feeding the flock, the children, the elect of God, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord, to prepare them for the rapture, to prepare you for the resurrection. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But and if, listen to the way this is worded here, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Now, many times we look at this and we think of something being literal or physical. But realize this, friends. To smite their fellow servants. In order to do that, all they need to do is speak evil against them. Brother Branham said, you know, Jesus said, if you're angry against your brother, all right? Brother Branham brought it down and he says, if you kill a minister's influence by running him down, he said, you might as well have took a gun and shot him, because in God's eyes, if you do that, you're a murderer. Now, he wasn't encouraging for preachers to get shot. But what he's saying is, God's going to look at you just like as if you'd done that.
Many of, I don't know, friends, I have a hard time, this just personally, me, and it's probably just because of the way I think of my makeup. I have a hard time understanding people who want to leave a church or leave a message or whatever, and they can't do it without finding some kind of fault or telling something or running somebody down. I don't understand that. Look, friends, years ago when I backslid and went to the world, I never blamed it on the church. I never blamed it on mom and dad. I never blamed it on Brother Branham. I never blamed it on this message. I didn't blame it on any of the people in the churches where I had been or any of the people who actually had done harm to my family and claimed to be believers. I never blamed them either. I walked out and said, this is what I want to do. Grant, sure, I was under an influence or I wouldn't have went. So I don't understand individuals when they want to do something. Why is it that they have to find some fault with you or me? Find some fault with the church? It's hurt me as a pastor when I've had individuals over here and did that. But it's hurt me far more when I've had family that's done it. It hurt me when my brother-in-law did it. But it really hurt me to the core when my own son did it. Because I was trying to figure out how could a son come forth from me, be raised by me and his mother, and do that. And I know, believe me, I got all the scriptures too. I've preached them to you. There's Esau and Jacob, they're both from the same mom and dad. You know what really hurts you, Sister Cindy, is when your grandchildren are involved in it. Isn't that right? Little babies that they can't, they got no say. I think my son's household would be better run if they let the 5-year-old do it. Okay, verse 49. They shall begin to smite their fellow servants and shall eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant. Now let me just stop right there. The Lord of that servant. That verse tells us that this individual was being a servant for the Lord. This servant at one time was in the field with the other servants, doing the same work as the other servants for the same Lord. But it said that that servant became evil in his thinking. What evil did enter therein? Unbelief. Unbelief. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. How could it be that this individual could be a servant for the Lord, working in the same field as the other servants of God?
preaching the same things. How could then that individual become to a place to where they would be surprised by the coming of the Lord? How could it be they would come to a place where he could come when they weren't expecting him? Because unbelief had entered in, and they no longer believed anything they had ever preached before. They no longer believed in the message of the bridegroom. And as they walk away from the very message that points out to us where we are, they are going to lose time and direction of what time that they are in. That's how he can come, and they won't be expecting him. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want to say this as I close. The things that I spoke to you tonight, I haven't spoken them out of any hatred, vehemence, or anything like that. But this is the reason. As I see these things happening, it doesn't shake me. It doesn't make me question, is what I'm following right? No. For me, it moves me to this. Let's take inventory. I want to be found doing the work of the Lord. I don't want to get my mind or my eyes on distractions. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. The devil is out to distract each and every one of us. And I'm not talking about distractions, things of the world. Tuesday night, I was, I think that was the day I got my meds mixed up, took the evening meds in the morning, didn't get to take the morning meds tonight, and so that it was really affecting me. And I found out, but I asked, my wife usually, with some things she thinks is going to bother me, she won't tell me until I ask her, but I asked, have you heard any more on when John and Chris are leaving to go to Utah? She said, yeah. She said, Chris is graduating from nursing school on the 17th. And immediately after graduation, her and the two babies are going to get on a plane and flying out to Utah. Chris's dad's flying in, and him and John are going to drive the truck out. And they're going to start out on Sunday the 18th. I sat on the side of my bed. I couldn't lay down. I sat there, tears. Tears just kept running, flowing. I think of Jesus. He was talking about Israel. He said, how oft I have wept for you. This is how I would have took you under my wing. And I began to pray because I was just, oh my goodness, I was going into a panic then, and I wanted to just get out and just go somewhere. And so I began to pray.
was praying. I was not praying. God, turn my son around. God, don't let him go out there. I didn't pray about them at all. I started praying, God, don't let me get so distracted by that. Because I don't want to neglect my family that is following the word. I said, God, don't let me get so distracted by that where I can't hear your voice or follow your leading to help this church. It goes beyond just natural family, friends. You people, you're my family. We sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You're my family. You're the family I'm going to spend eternity with. And I don't want to become so distracted. And the devil would love to take that and cause my mind to become so consumed and distracted by it. And I just curl up somewhere in a corner. But that's what I was praying. God, do not let me become so distracted by that. Say, how can you do it? You've got to just place it in God's hands. There is nothing you can do yourself. You got to place it in God's hands. If they're elect, the prophet said, God will bring them. And if they're not, he said, they're not worth you worrying about. Because it will just make your health run down. If I let myself become consumed with that, friends, it could bring me to a nervous breakdown. People don't realize, friends, I've already had one nervous breakdown since I've been here pastoring. And I did. I just crawled in a hole and wouldn't come out. And it took God. See, that's the devil. If he can hit me in my health. That's where the devil's always attacking me at. And I think he probably made more strides when he began to attack my mental health than any other time he's ever attacked my health. But that quote that I have quoted to you over and over, I believe it. He said, commit it to the Lord. If they're elect, pray for them, sure, pray for them. But commit it to God. Many times we want to pray, but we pray wrong. We actually would like to sometimes pray something that will actually reverse predestination. Prayer is more powerful than an atomic bomb, Brother Brim says. But friends, prayer is not going to change the word of God. But the devil will take that, things from your family, or whatever that he can to press on you, to get you to become so consumed and distracted by it that you will actually miss what God is trying to tell you. Want to get ready for this resurrection? Then let's do this. Let's lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. A weight that would so easily beset me is the love for my son. And there are those of you sitting out there, you know, all you mothers and dads, you can relate to this, and some of you have went through grief and loss and heartache. Devil would want to get you consumed in sorrow and grief or whatever else he can, when in fact what we need to do is we need to get our eyes set on him, and we need to get our minds set on getting out of here, being ready to go, being ready for his coming. Stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to have been here tonight. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you will bless your people. God, I ask, God, Lord, that from this message tonight, Lord, that we can take notice and a lesson from it, Lord, where, Lord, that we won't falter in this time. Lord, that we'll endure. We will endure until the end. Lord Jesus, I ask, God, that you'll bless your people. Bless them tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will watch over them the next coming days, Lord, until we can gather here again on Sunday. Lord, be with Brother Phil, Lord, while he's gone. Keep him safe, dear Lord. We ask it all in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, To Be Like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. bless you. Amen. As you go, amen. The Lord bless you. Amen.